Jeremiah chapter 1 in your Bibles is where we'll go in a moment. But I asked one of the sweetest ladies I know, Miss Wanda McDowell. Now, everybody knows her husband, Max. And Max, and you stand up. He's our county commissioner for Randolph County. Let's give him a big round of applause. Has done wonderful things for Randolph County. But with this day that we are thinking about pro-life, Miss Wanda is affiliated with Your Choices in Asheboro and just has a vibrant testimony for life. And so I've asked her to come and just share for a couple minutes, and then I'm going to take the Bible and give you my thoughts on Jeremiah chapter 1.
Now, he told me there was a trap door if I went over my 10 minutes. So if I disappear, just kidding. Okay. Good morning, church. It's good to be with you today. And what a privilege and an opportunity to share what's on my heart today. Thank you. I was 21 years old. I was engaged to be married. And planning my big wedding day and discovered that I was pregnant before the big wedding day. I was scared. I was confused. I really didn't know what to do because, you know, pregnancy is not something you can kind of sweep under the rug and kind of hope it'll go away. And I didn't know what to do. So after some time, I told my fiance at that time, and he said, if you have that baby, I'll leave you. You see, he didn't want any responsibility at all. I knew I didn't want to tell my parents because as a teenager growing up, I had heard my dad say on many occasions, Wanda, I hope you're not one of those girls that comes home pregnant. So I didn't want to disappoint my parents. I didn't want to see the hurt in their faces. I didn't want to embarrass them publicly. And so my fiance and I talked it over, and we decided we would tell his parents. These are people that I trusted. And my mother-in-law to be said, don't worry about it. I've had an abortion, and you can have one too. And that's what happened, folks. They took me to Washington, D.C. to a Planned Parenthood clinic. And they paid for my abortion. And folks, I came home and I was a big mess. And I cried for weeks. I was depressed. I didn't want my parents to know what was going on. You see, it was a pretend shopping weekend because it was around Christmas time. And I didn't want, you know, they wouldn't be suspicious if I went on a pretend shopping weekend. And so they took me there, and I came home. And as I said, I was a big mess for weeks. And I'm like, I can't go on living like this. And instead of seeking help at a place like Your Choices Randolph and seeking healing, folks, I listened to the voices at Planned Parenthood that said, just go about your happy little life. Pretend like it never happened. It's nothing different than a dental procedure. And there was another voice, folks, that I listened to, and it was the voice of the enemy. When he said, don't tell anybody. Keep it a big secret. And so that's what I did. I buried it deep in my heart. I buried it. I locked the door to that chamber of my heart. I threw away the key and I said, not even you, God, can get to that secret place in my heart. And folks, I bore the shame and the guilt, the depression of that poor decision for 40 years. 40 years. You see, I sat in the pews every Sunday just like you are. And I'd wear a smile trying to pretend to hide the deep pain that was in my heart. You see, folks, we're told that one in four women in America have had an abortion. And sadly, one in five in the church have had an abortion. What happens? We come to church on Sunday and then we're at the abortion clinic sometime during the week. And so I bore that pain and that sorrow for all that time. And after all those years, I finally retired from my work in sales and decorating. And I felt this void in my life. Some of you that are retired, you may know that feeling. Like, now what am I going to do with my life? And the Lord began to speak to me and said, Wanda, why don't you think about doing some volunteer work? And you know God has a sense of humor, folks. Guess where he sent me? To a place where they save babies called Your Choices Randolph. You see, I thought they were really lucky to have me and my best friend there to do whatever we could do to help out. And it was the second day of volunteer training that they put up on a big screen like you see back here. It was a hand reaching down into the water. A hand, and I'm thinking, oh, that must be Jesus. He's saving Peter from drowning. And that's when Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And he said, no, Wanda. He said, you are the one who needs to be rescued. And I said, I know, Lord. It was in the quietness of that classroom setting with all those other people that God was speaking to me. And the next day, I took myself right back up there and I met with a staff member and shared my story. And as it would turn out, the very next week, they were beginning another abortion recovery class. It was a Bible study. I love the name of that Bible study, folks. It's called Forgiven and Set Free. And during that Bible study, folks, that's when God began to pour grace and mercy, forgiveness, redemption all over me. He changed me, folks. He set me free from the past. And he told me, he said, Wanda, your past does not define who you are as a person because your identity is in Jesus Christ, your Savior. And so now God is using my husband Maxton and I to go into churches and share the ministry of Your Choices Randolph. And we share my ministry. Some of you that are sitting in the pews today may be hiding a deep secret. And we want you to know that we are waiting there for you to help you through that healing process. But it's up to you to make the first move. Come and join us. Right now I have a short video that I would like for you to watch. And it's a brave young woman who's shared her testimony on TikTok recently. You know, TikTok is owned by the Chinese Communist Party, and so it's amazing to me that they would not allow words like rape, so you will see some words bleeped out. So watch her dynamic testimony.
One small, unimportant decision that you made that changed the whole trajectory of your life.
I decided to call a random pregnancy center a couple states away. And the lady who answered the phone changed my whole life. And the funny thing is, I don't even know her name. A lot of you don't know this, but I got pregnant as a result of... Another thing that you need to know about me is that I also grew up in an extremely devout Christian family. I had always been raised to value human life. In fact, my dad was the vice president of our local pregnancy center. I also grew up during the 90s Christian era, which was extremely centered on purity culture. The pastor of my church was Joshua Harris, the guy who wrote the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye. And I had promised that I was going to save my first kiss for my wedding day. I know. So you can imagine my horror when I, the girl who had never dated before, the good Christian girl, found myself pregnant. And even though I was pro-life, my gut reaction was to schedule an appointment at Planned Parenthood for that Friday afternoon. But 2 days before my appointment, I called a pregnancy center a couple states away. I knew that if I called anyone in my state, they would immediately know who I was because of my dad. And when the lady answered the phone, I couldn't even speak. She let me cry, and she just said, "Oh, honey, I'm here with you on the phone whenever you're ready." When I was finally able to collect myself enough to speak, I shared with her about what happened, and her response just blew me away. She said to me, "Sex doesn't make babies, God does. There are many women all over the world that have sex all the time, hoping and praying that they'll have a baby, and for some reason they don't. And there are women all over the world that have sex and don't want a baby, and for some reason they do. And for some reason, God is choosing to give you a life out of this terrible circumstance." Immediately, this overwhelming sense of peace came over me, and I knew that she was right. For some reason, God was choosing to give me a baby, to give me a life out of this situation that I thought was going to be the death of me. And so Friday morning, I called Planned Parenthood and I canceled my appointment. And the lady from Planned Parenthood, her response also surprised me. You see, she knew that I was a Christian because that was something that I shared with her when I booked the appointment in the first place. She said, "Angela, you know that if you go through with this, you will never be able to travel again or be a missionary or any of those other things that you said you wanted to do. We can take care of this problem for you, so you can live your life and fulfill all the dreams that God has given you." And I thought, what? Like, this lady was seriously trying to use my faith as a reason for me to get an abortion. And the difference between the two calls for me was so staggering. With the first call that I had, I hung up the phone feeling hopeful and empowered. Of course, I was still nervous and afraid, but overall, I had this overwhelming sense of peace, like, I can do this. But my call to Planned Parenthood was so different. When I hung up the phone with Planned Parenthood, I felt like this baby was a problem to get rid of, not a life to be cherished or enjoyed. And because I canceled that appointment 9 years ago today, not only am I still able to travel the world and do all the things that the lady at Planned Parenthood said I would never be able to do, but now I get to do it with the most incredible human being that I've ever known. This is the problem that Planned Parenthood wanted me to get rid of, to avoid the shame and embarrassment and all the other negative emotions that I was feeling at the time. My daughter is no problem. She is the greatest joy of my life, and I will forever be grateful to the stranger on the other end of the line from a random pregnancy center in New York that told me I could do it. I could be a mom. I could be a mom even by myself. That was strong and powerful and brave. Braver than I ever knew I could be. And that this baby girl would be such a huge part of my healing. And that she would become the reason that I am a best-selling author. That I'm a homeschooling advocate. And that now I get to spend the rest of my life empowering women to stand in their power. My child was not my problem. She became my purpose. And I will forever be thankful. Anyways, if you made it this far, thanks for listening.
You love it. You see, folks, one call, just one call, can truly make all the difference. And aren't you just amazed like I am how God can take the ashes of our past and make something beautiful from it? the same way he did for her and for myself. Well, the one thing that I want you to know for sure today, folks, is how very important it is for the staff and the volunteers at Your Choices Randolph that every client, not just a few, not just some, but that every client is introduced to Jesus Christ, because we know the difference that He can make in their lives. Our mission at Your Choices Randolph is to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to see it transform and to restore our culture into one that actually values human life. And we strive to do that every day, folks, with the help of people just like you. Churches just like Beulah Baptist. Because you are the ones who provide the funding for what we do. You see, we receive no federal funding. We're not a United Way agency. And so we depend on you to keep this ministry alive. The baby bottle campaign that you have going on right now, filling it with your silver change, your checks or cash, or if you prefer, you can put it in an envelope. You can do that. You can even go to the front where there's some things that information that you can pick up, take home with you today. There's a QR code on here. You don't even have to mess with the baby bottle if you don't want to, or an envelope. You can go directly to Your Choices Randolph and give online. And you can give monthly, or you can give one-time gift, whatever God lays on your heart to give. Now, on this piece of paper, folks, I have listed about $300 worth of items. And these are items that we collect mostly from churches. These are baby items like diapers and wipes, formula, clothing. And we fill a backpack slam full of all these items for every client that goes through our free parenting and pregnancy classes. When they finish those classes, we shower them with a big baby shower and give them a backpack. And I want to challenge you today. Would you take this piece of paper, share it with your small groups, your Sunday school classes, your ladies' groups, your youth groups, and fill a backpack for a client? They would be so appreciative of your help. And for those of you that have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, whatever, can you imagine what it would be like to go home and not have a single thing to offer to that child? Not a diaper, wipe? And that's where a lot of our clients are, folks. In fact, some are even homeless. So we depend on you today. And so in closing, for those of you who are standing with Christ, and for those that He made, those that He created, both the born and the unborn, and for those of you who believe in the sanctity of human life, will you join me today in the fight for the unborn? Thank you, and God bless you.
Jeremiah chapter 1 in your Bibles today. Jeremiah chapter 1. When you leave, the ushers will be at all of the exits, and we will take up an offering for Your Choices Randolph, and your baby bottles are due back on Father's Day, so a couple weeks. We're encouraging everybody, as Brother Matt already mentioned, to go out with us and pray. On Saturday, we'll have breakfast waiting for you when you arrive, a good old Hardee's breakfast. And so it's perfectly fine for you to take the whole family, take the kids. It's not that far of a walk, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity for them to see and for them to enter into spiritual warfare at their young age. Number one cause of death in America is abortion. Most dangerous place to live. It's not Chicago. It's not New York City. It's not Atlanta. Most dangerous place to live in America is the womb of a woman. Last year, Planned Parenthood performed 383,000 abortions last year, and our federal government gave them over $500 million. Planned Parenthood. We all know that during Moses' time period, when they were throwing babies to crocodiles in the Nile River, that was wicked. What Planned Parenthood is doing is every bit as wicked. Jewish Holocaust, there were 7 million Jews murdered by the Nazis. Since 1973, we in America have killed 65 million babies. Now, a lot of cultural issues come down the pike. How do we as believers respond? The media is pushing their agenda. How do we respond? Go to Scripture. What does Scripture have to say? Well, regarding this issue, I don't care what Republicans have to say. I don't care what Democrats have to say. I want to know what God has to say. Here's what God has to say. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. These six things of the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. There is no more innocent being on the face of the earth than that child in the womb. 30% of all babies conceived in the U.S. are killed before they are born. And we as Christians, we just can't sit by in our lazy boy chair and say, somebody's got to do something about that. We have to say, no, this is my generation, and I'm going to do something about that. Professor at UCLA was speaking to the medical school students, and he says, let me put a question before you. And this is the question he proposed. The father has syphilis. The mother has tuberculosis. They've already had four children. The first one is blind. The second one died. The third one is deaf. The fourth one has tuberculosis as well. The mother is pregnant with her fifth child. The parents are willing to have an abortion if you say they should. What do you, class, think they should do? They debated amongst themselves and they decided she needs to have an abortion. Professor came up and said, congratulations, you just killed Beethoven. Because that was his story. Now I realize our culture does not embrace life. I'm not asking you today to adopt culture and what our secular, godless age is saying. Let's go to Scripture. And just look at what Scripture says, and I'm not going to keep you long. Jeremiah chapter 1, look at verse 5. One verse today. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Let me just give you three thoughts. Number one, notice our Maker. Before I formed you. Form means to weave. Same way you would weave a blanket. To put together. Yesterday, Stephen Kavanis had his wedding shower, and I was down there at the gym, and I saw they had a couple of blankets where they had piece them together, and they looked like they were the old-fashioned kind where they were weaved together by hand. Literally, this is what this says. God very specifically, God very precisely created you exactly the way He wanted you to be. God does not make junk.
And God precisely designed you incredibly, exactly, intricately
the way he wanted you to be.
Do you realize just one strand of your DNA, not all of your DNA, your DNA would be incredibly long. Just one tiny strand of your DNA contains the information equivalent to 1,000 volumes, just one strand, 500 pages each. God intricately, delicately, precisely formed you. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Each of us have biological parents that we come from. But in reality, we don't come from our parents. In reality, when a child asks you, hey, mommy, daddy, you can quote the pastor on this. Where do babies come from? Correct answer, God. God made them. God made them very precisely. God made them very intricately. You say, okay. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. If we're made in the image of God, John chapter 4, verse 24 says, God is a spirit. Those that must worship him in spirit and in truth. How are we made in God's image? Not our body. Our spirit. It's okay. If being in God's image refers to our spirit and not our body, when do the two meet up? When does our body meet up with the spirit that's made in God's image? You ready? Conception. That's why we fight for the baby in the womb. Because it is made in the image of Almighty God. And when it comes together, it is a intricately designed, precisely created image of God Almighty in that womb. Number one, our maker. Number two, notice our merit. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Knew or know doesn't mean to recognize or to be familiar with. It means to love. It means to cherish. God says to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, Jeremiah, I knew you. Jeremiah, I loved you. Jeremiah, I saw you and I loved you. This is not just before birth. This is before conception. Before your parents were even here. God knew you. And he loved you. And he was crazy about you yesterday. You know, we have our first grandchild. Yesterday, we had grandchild number two at the house. And she was in the womb still. But Janelle is starting to show. And so I asked, I said, am I allowed to touch? And she said, yeah, you can touch. She said, your son won't touch. He says, that feels weird. And I was like, well, my son is weird. Let me touch. And I said, they're going to name the little girl Reese. And I was like, I like Reese's cups and I like Reese already. I love her and she's not here yet. God says, Jeremiah, before I ever intricately designed you and made you and created you in the womb, I knew you, I created you, I loved you. You were God's idea, not your parents' idea. You've heard the saying, oh, they were an accident, baby. There's no such thing as an accident, baby. God created all children specifically, very much on purpose. There are no such things as accidents with God. Number one, our maker. Number two, our merit. Number three, notice our mission. Look at the last part of the verse. Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came out of the womb, I sanctified you. Sanctified means to set apart. Before you were conceived, God had a plan for you to accomplish. You were not here by random chance or by coincidence. God sovereignly chose you. God sovereignly designed you. God sovereignly created you to fulfill a purpose and a mission. Jeremiah, before I even formed you in the womb, I had a mission for you to accomplish. That is not just for Jeremiah. That's for you. And that's for every child in the womb. That's why we are to fight for children in the womb. Look at the last part of the verse. Came thou forth out of the womb. I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah, you're to go to the nations and you're to proclaim. How many of you believe that God appoints preachers to proclaim the gospel message? Raise your hand. Come on, I can't see your hands. How many of you believe God appoints business people to be business leaders? I don't see as many hands. He does. How many of you believe that God appoints school teachers to be teachers? Come on. I believe God needs to appoint some more school teachers. Hey, God has a mission for you to accomplish. You say, Pastor, what do you want me to do? Let me just give it to you straight up. I want you to speak up. We as Christians have let the secular world define this issue. I'm not talking about being rude. I'm not talking about being weird. I'm just saying we cannot abandon the playing field. If God creates life, and if life begins at conception, then we have to say so. We can do it lovingly. We can do it kindly, but we must speak up. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Hey, stop letting the cat get your tongue. That child in the womb needs somebody speaking up for him or her. Thinking of little Reese yesterday when I put my hand on her mama's belly. She can't talk yet. Who's going to talk for her? And there is a whole lot of children that they do not have a voice. And they do not have anybody fight for them. And we must do that. What can you do? You can speak up. Proverbs 31 verse 8 says, open your mouth for the speechless. We must do it. Number two, show up this Saturday. Show up. We are going to Greensboro to pray. Our Randolph County pastors went to this same abortion clinic not a month ago and prayed. And the following Saturday. Now, they stopped doing abortions on Wednesday because the churches are fasting. And literally, the fasting and the praying of the churches shut them down on Wednesday. Wednesday used to be their biggest day. They don't even operate on Wednesday anymore. Pastors went up there, and not there's there anything special about pastors, went up there and prayed on Saturday, and they had zero abortions on the Saturday like 3 weeks ago. Prayer works. Now, if you want to go and hold a sign, go hold a sign. I don't care. Do whatever we have to do that's legal. But I believe the best thing that we can do, go up there and pray. Let me say one other thing. To those that have been affected by abortion, and statistics are different, that of those under 40, maybe up to 45% in churches have had an abortion. Had somebody come to me, I don't know, a year ago, say, "Pastor, I had an abortion, and I can't get it out of my mind. What do I do?" I took her to 1 John 1:9. Said, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful. He will do the same thing every single time. He is just. He will do the right thing every single time. He will forgive your sins, and He will cleanse you of that sin." She says, "I've done that." I said, "If God has forgiven you of your sin, you got to forgive you of your sin." She said, "Forgiving me of my sin is a lot harder than trusting God to forgive me of my sin." And my word to you, if you've had an abortion, ask God for His forgiveness and accept it. But you got to receive His forgiveness. And my second word to you, you got to start sharing the way this angel did today. God has given you a testimony, and that they will not listen to some of us who have never been through that ordeal. But you can go and you can minister and you can speak up and you can change hearts of people who would never listen to me, but they would listen to you. Proverbs 28 verse 13 is what I shared with her. "He that covers his sin shall not prosper. He that confesses it shall have mercy." I said, go and confess it and help other people. So if you have made that mistake, there is hope. There is help. We're not beating you up. We're not spitting on anybody, because all of us are sinners. All of us have made mistakes. You can help other people that are going down that same exact road. September 26, 2009. Abby Johnson was doing an ultrasound in the process of giving an abortion. Worked at Planned Parenthood for years. Middle of giving that ultrasound in the process of giving the abortion. She became overwhelmed. Felt like she was going to throw up. Didn't know what had happened. I mean, she had literally given hundreds of these been procedures. And why this? She passed it off to somebody else, said, "You're going to have to finish this. I can't." And she left. She later says, what got to her was since she walked into the abortion clinic that morning, there were two older ladies out there. When she walked by them, they said, "We love you. And we're praying for you." She said, "Why would somebody love me? And why are they praying for me?" She said, "I'm doing this procedure. I see them out there at the window. And all they're doing is praying. But I can't get past their prayers. When I leave, I'm feeling horrible. There they are, still praying, and they say the same word to me. Hey, know that we love you, and know that we're praying for you." She said, "I couldn't get over it." And she walked away from her career as an abortionist with Planned Parenthood. And now she is going around just like Ms. Wanda, and encouraging ladies, hey, you don't have to go down that road. There is hope in Jesus. Life is a gift from God. Let's protect life.